Grace, mercy, and peace be with you all here this day from our triune God. There's an old parable, an old fable, that is told about a moth and a housefly who were together one day near a closed window. The moth sat there comfortably on the side, peering out of the glass, while the housefly continued to restlessly fly up and around and then straight into the window. And then the stunned fly would fall to the windowsill and then persistently get back up again and try again. On and on this continued to go as this fly continued to look for a way through the window pane, and each time the fly would fail. So finally the moth said, "Fly, why are you continuing to do that? Can't you see by now that it's not really working for you? However, if you happen to just look across the room, there's a door that's wide open. Why don't you fly over there and then fly out to freedom?" "No," said the fly. I know that if I just continue to do this hard enough, eventually I will find my way out of here." And so on the fly went, circling around that closed window and slamming its body against the window pane. And the moth continued to watch, and it became more and more convinced that this fly was actually out of his mind, especially because the solution, as the moth saw it, was so simple. However, soon nighttime came, and by now the fly lay there exhausted on the windowsill, while the moth continued to just sit there shaking its head. But then someone lit a candle on the table across the room to illuminate the open door and escape. However, without even thinking about it, the moth immediately flew straight towards the light, fizzled in the candle's flame, and fell dead on the floor. So let me ask you a question this morning. Why do we try so hard to do the things that thwart us and harm us, especially when God opens doors and windows for us at all times, if only we just have faith enough to go through them? Now, this might surprise some of you, but persistence in prayer is not, I repeat, not the point of this parable that we find here in this morning's gospel reading. Rather, faith in God's mercy and a trust in God's justice and love and grace, not a reliance upon our own human ingenuity, is really at the heart of today's story. Jesus' parable is not about a justification through works, even if those works themselves are prayers and actions for justice. His parable is about a call for an unfaltering faith and unceasing prayer in a world that often does not and will not respond to our begging and to our pleading. It's about a just God whose justice is cloaked in mercy and in love. It's about a merciful God who grants mercy upon all those who call upon his name in a spirit of trust and of truth. And it's contrasted here with this unjust human judge whose justice is always arbitrary, much like those ancient Greek gods, you might recall, who often were seen as being either selfish or mood-driven. So in this morning's parable, this unjust judge's judicial rulings are not out of any kind of respect for the law, but rather a reflex of his unpredictable temper. Let's face it, We live in a world today that preys upon weakness, that jury rigs justice. The persistence of the wronged widow in this morning's story was exceptional, especially given the fact of what her status would have been in the culture back at that time. But it was not her attitude, but it was rather the judge's own concern for his reputation of not getting a public black eye here, that he finally moves to deal with this widow more favorably. So the unjust judge's mercy, the unjust judge's justice, is based upon really saving his own skin. Now, in contrast, God's mercy, God's justice, is always based upon saving the world to the point of putting some skin in the game. So I'll say it again. It's not about the persistent pestering of this noisy wheel widow that makes her the protagonist now in this morning's parable. Rather, it's her faithfulness, despite being continually rejected and in spite of being seen as powerless and as potentially vulnerable, that makes her the hero of this story. It's not that she's just a stubborn nuisance. It's that she's a living testimony of faithfulness in the face of a faithless world. It's not that she is just some judicial pain in the neck. This widow is a person of immense faith. She believes always, continually, despite all the odds, despite the indifference of her culture and untrustworthiness of this local judge, that her faith itself is the way for her to be brought into a closer relationship with God. So today's gospel lesson is not about saying that we should relentlessly pester God in order to somehow then manipulate God into giving us whatever it is that we want. It's simply showing us here two different portraits of a way in which we can choose to live our lives. And then it confronts us with this question: how can we have so much confidence in our own human endeavor, in our own human means of persuasion? How can we have so much confidence in our own power of manipulating human justice while at the same time have so little faith in God, who loves us and who's never arbitrary, but grants us mercy, grace, and peace? So again, let me ask you a question this morning. Where is your faith right now? Where is your patience in prayer? Why don't you put your efforts where they should be, in the eternal and not in the temporal? Why don't you spend as much time in prayer that can save your life as you do in the frivolous, unfruitful pursuits and pastimes that demean your life? Why do you have more faith in your own power of manipulation than faith in God's mercy and grace? Why do you want to assure an outcome for yourself that you can see and control, rather than to live into the assurance of God's love and mercy for your life? You know, pestering may change our circumstances, but it's prayer that changes us. We human beings nearly always choose to take the easy way out whenever we decide to do anything. So why do we do that? Well, perhaps it's because we don't want God to see us in our weakness. Perhaps it's because we don't want to admit that there are some things in life that we really can't do on our own. Perhaps it's because we think that we don't deserve God's help. Or perhaps it's because we don't want to take the time to be in a real relationship with God. And so instead, we choose to take the easy way out. We look for help and love and respect and good results in all of the wrong places. It seems as though almost every local television station these days has at least one person on their staff who is listed as an investigative reporter. You know, someone who is out there exposing some gross miscarriage of justice and troubleshooting various incidences within our community. Now, however, these news stories, when we hear them broadcast, oftentimes showcase only the successful outcomes of their confrontations, and they make certainly for a feel-good moment. The underdog is vindicated, the big bad bully is publicly shamed and punished and maybe banned. And let's be honest with ourselves, most of us love these kinds of stories, don't we? They showcase one form of justice, the kind of justice that's truly good for a few individuals, but really doesn't change anything long term. The basic brokenness of our world ensures that injustices will continue to take place. That's the reality of our world. But that's not the reality, you see, of the world to come. That is not the eternal vision of hope that God's kingdom offers to us. In God's kingdom, there are no quick fixes. In God's kingdom, there are no band-aid approaches to dealing with bad things. When Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God, he wasn't offering up here a piecemeal, fix-it-up kind of remedy for all of the wrongs that we suffer in the world today. The kingdom of God, you see, is something that is brand new. It is something that is completely different. It's something that replaces one reality, that reality of a sinful, broken world, with a new reality. A world made whole and one, living in a covenant relationship with God's design for shalom and for love. So where then will you be found in this coming week? Will you be found among those persistently complaining about everything that's going on and happening in the world around you? Or will you be among those who have faith, those living into that new kingdom reality, which is, of course, God's kingdom? Amen.